Thank you for giving me a spark to start the motor. We finalized the first book called Bereshit. It's at the beginning. It's the seed of the creation, its totality, pattern, and thought of the creation. And in the book of Bereshit, we introduce the energy of Avot, forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, Yaakov. And it came to the point that Yaakov came out of Eretz Israel, and 70 nefesh, 70 life being, they entered into a domain called Mitzrayim. Literal translation of Mitzrayim means tsar, pressure, pressure cooker. It's called Kur Barzel. Kur means where we melt. We melt, Barzel is iron. And what happens when you put iron into heat? You literally bring it till it is hot, 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 hot. And then you take the hammer and you mold it. And until you don't heat it up, you cannot mold it. And every time you put it into the fire and you bend it a little bit, they put it in where? In the water. And water is what? Chesed. This Barzel, by the time that finishes, it becomes formed and strong. That's what Mitzrayim is. Now, prior to Yaakov coming, and Yaakov knew the totality of Emet, and now we're starting a new book called Shemot, Names. What names? Which names? The Torah comes and gives the names of Shevatim, and it says, Ve'ele Shemot B'nei Israel. He says, what is Vav? Vav means connection. That means there were other names prior to this book called Shemot. And now Torah wants to add more Shemot to the names that they were already there. And what are those Shemot? And he calls the name of Shevatim, but changes the order. I want to give you a little bit of story of what's going on into the parasha. But prior we go forward, I want to ask you, what is name? What is name? It is. If your name is Rachel, and I say Rachel, am I expressing in any shape or form your essence? Absolutely not. Because your essence might not be at all close to the Rachel of Torah, or maybe very similar. But your name doesn't express your essence at all. It just gives a glimmer. A glimmer. Not essence. Just the opposite. A glimmer of you. Not your totality. Only a gleam of what you are. That's your name. When I say Yosef, Moshe, David, it's not talking about your essence. It's just talking an aspect of you, a glimmer of you. So why Torah insists by saying, Ele Shemot, Eve Ele Shemot Ben Israel, Habaim Mitzrayim, and this is individual, Yachid, one by one. It's a singular here. Why Torah is saying Shemot Baim? Why it's just the beginning doesn't start? It says, here it is Yaakov and his son Reuben and Shimon and Levi and Issachar, they came to Egypt. He says, Va'ele Shemot B'nei Israel, Habaim. And now, the secret, the raz, the sod of the word is that, he says, Torah says, look, I'm giving you about Mitzrayim, not to tell you about the history. Though the book of Shemot is the beginning of the history of Israel. It really gives you how Am Israel was established. That's history of Am Israel. That's I accept. But what he means by Ve'ele Shemot B'nei Israel. He says, you are coming to Egypt. In order to build a vessel to prepare yourself to receive the Torah. No pain, no gain. You have to go and into a place that is totally concealment of the Emet. Look at our day, and I want to give you parallels in nature and in our life. In order to understand the concept of Galut. Because when we understand the concept of being a foreigner, honestly, if you are a Jew, don't you feel foreigner? No matter where you are. No matter how good you have it. No matter how wealthy you are. If you don't have Eretz Israel, and I do not have Eretz Israel today, I have part of it, maybe. Maybe. I am trying my best to hold on to it. I'm fighting for it. A whole life that we have had for past 15 and the years, we are fighting day and night for it. I don't have it. So, I feel foreigner. That's Galut. For as long as I don't feel the sense of belonging, hear me out. If you look at into your life of yourself and your parents and the Jewish life, you have always been foreigners. And nobody wanted us to be around, really. They want us to be around. This is a reality. Only if we are good for them. And we are good for them. We are honestly good citizens. We are not lazy people. We work hard. We are good doctors, and good inventors, and good engineers, and we have done good to humanity. We have brought civilization to humanity. We have brought music. We have brought a lot of invention to this humanity, as per our share. Just bottom line, simple balance sheet. We have caused no pain to no nation, and we have been there always to help even our enemies. That's a fact written history. We have not gone to war and to take something that doesn't belong to us. However, we have had Baruch Hashem strong army. God bless each one of them. Because they are element of jealousy that does not want to see Judaism to succeed and bear fruit. It's a simple fact. And the hate of no reason exists in this world. This is an incomplete and inadequate world. So he says immediately the Torah telling us that for Bnei Israel, for this Shemot, the Shemot that are not necessarily the essence of the Jews, I want to still work on this Shemot. When I say Hovaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei, what I'm talking about? Is it the name of the Creator? Is the name that He did it all? He's the name of Ein Sof? No. His name is that divine energy that caused creation. His name is the essence of creation, but it's not Him. It's his creation. But his creation and him are not the whole. My name, the same way my name is not my totality, my essence. By saying Joseph, you do not know totality essence of Joseph. Just have a glimmer of Joseph. And so when I know the name of Hashem, and I call Hovaya, I do not know the essence of Hovaya. I only know, can see, and can feel his creation. His name is his creation. That's his name. So therefore, a name of a Jew is only represents a glimmer of a Jew. And when he says, Ele Shemot of Bnei Israel coming to Egypt, is only the Shemot coming to Egypt. That means only a minute aspect of a Jew goes to Egypt. That means my total essence doesn't go to Galut. There is a nefesh of me only going to Galut. There is an aspect of me which called my higher self that is outside of the Galut. And this is a fact. Now, come, don't let me lose you. Stop me. Very good. Very good. Come, let's go to Torah. Because this is what we have been missing for 3,000 years and they don't tell us. And we feel like, yeah, I'm a slave. Did God, the Hovaya, the Anuchi, took me out of Egypt? The book says yes. God said that, look, Jews, I took you out of Egypt, but you didn't take the Egypt out of yourself. Now what that means? Every Jew, every being, every consciousness of a Jew is consists of three levels. His neshama, his ruach, and his nefesh. Nefesh is in my blood. That's my life. Where is my life? It's in my blood. You take my blood, you took my life. That's why Torah comes and he says, Ve'ele shemot b'nei Yisrael habayim Mitzrayma et Yaakov ish ve'beito ba'u. And then lists the name. And it says, Ve'yi kol nefesh. Everywhere in the Torah, remember, when you have Ve'yi, Vav Yud Hey Yud, that means problem. Ve'yi nefesh, only the nefesh came to Egypt. The ruach and the neshama stayed out. And the Shekhinah, and God told Yaakov, he didn't say to Israel, he told to Yaakov, you go down to Egypt, go down to Egypt. I'm going to come with you. I'm going to take care of this nefesh. That means there is an aspect of you that is outside. You're going to realize this. How important it is. That's why we keep on reading every time Yetziat Mitzrayim. How many times? Going to Egypt, coming out of Egypt. I mean, once I already know the story. But we don't know the story completely. The point is that only aspect of me goes into the house of darkness, into the womb of Mitzrayim, into the womb of Klipa, into the womb of ugliness. But there is an aspect of me called Neshama that did not go to Egypt. Doesn't go to Egypt. Cannot go to Egypt. In order to understand deeper, let's go back, look at the beginning picture. God took Adam, and put him in Gan Eden. And what he had in Gan Eden? Heaven. He had heaven. Very simple. That's Gan Eden. And then he opened the door. He says, look, you are not worthy of it. Out. That's one. Why God gave us to sleep? Half of our life, we are sleeping. What do you need to sleep for? Come on, save the time. You can work 24 hours. He could have made the sister. Why, when he wanted to make the wife of Adam, he put him to sleep? What is this sleeping business? And you know what? The Torah says that he doesn't start from day. He says, Vayi erev, Vayi boker, yom echad. That means there is a totality that first gotta be erev, night, and then day. That means first there has to be a pain, and then gain. First you have to go through problems and learn and study and work hard in order to gain. Now what happens at night when we sleep? We know that is the aspect of me lives. Lives goes where? Takes a bus, goes where? For what purpose? Why is leaving me? Where is going? Now, we go one aspect of it. And we slowly see why we have to get up in the morning. We say Modani. And why we in the morning, we get up before I touch anything. I do Netilat Yadayim. Most important, touching my eyes. Chachamim Zohar says, you get up in the morning, you become conscious, don't touch your eyes. Keep your hand until you make a Netilat Yadayim. Then clean your eyes. Now, let's understand why. We understood that at night only is the possibility that my neshama leaves my body, leaves the Mitzrayim, which is my body, because part of me, the neshama, is Godi. And when it comes to this limited body, it's Mitzrayim. The neshama of Yehudi is chelek mi Elokai. It's Godi. God is infinity. This neshama accepts to come to boundaries, to body, in order for one purpose, to have a chance to elevate. Accepts the pain of coming down, yerida, in order to get aliyah. When you go on a dive, what do? You push the dive down. Why down? You want to go up. But you push it hard again, and you jump one more time, so you get elevation. You come down in order to go up. You go to Egypt, to Tsar, in order to come. You go to sleep, and God takes and finds Ezer Kenegdo while you're sleeping. That means finds and gives you the energy that is Ezer, that is a help for you next day. While you are sleeping, you get that milui, the chava. Chava is the milui of Adam. He gives you that compliment, that energy, while you are sleeping. So next day, you can see the yom. And you can get up in the morning and say, Baruch Ata Hashem, Shenatan Li Lesichvi. Sichvi is my heart. Lahavin, to understand, pain, yom, alayla. That means I cannot differentiate now between what is the light, the truth, and what is not the truth. When did I get this energy? Every night. Every night. God gives me an energy, and this energy comes out of my eyes. And this is Kabbalah, but I don't want to go to detail of it. My eyes that in the morning opens, sees a new light. It's totally different than what it was yesterday. That's a new light. That's why it's a new day. And the light that comes my eyes, now if I am not careful, this energy of eyes given to who? This energy that comes, went out of my body and comes back to my body, is given to who? Who takes it? My body. Who is running my body? Who is my nefesh? It's the behema. It's the animal. He's the owner of it now. It's exactly like a Jew, that for as long as he is in Galut, that means he is not in his own place, whatever he works, all his wisdom, all his pains, all his payments, is not given to him. It's given to the place that he is. If I am in America, America gets rich on account of me being here. And if you think I am not right, look, when 1 million Jews got out of Russia, what happened to Russia? Look at the Jews that got out of Egypt, what happened to Egypt? Look at the Jews that got out of the Iraq, what happened?
So how come they're becoming rich here and they're not becoming rich there? That's why they're all coming here.
No. Here is becoming rich because they are all coming here.
Okay, so let's say we're all going to go there.
Where? You know what? You don't believe it. Even at your time, how many years the land of Israel was in the hand of Palestinians? Called Canaan. Years. Years. Did you see oranges and bananas out of it? Did you see flowers like this out of it? Did you see agriculture out of it? Or it was a swamp? Which part of Israel you come from?
Jerusalem.
How big it was? You remember the wall? You remember the other side of it? You remember the Shekhinah, the neighborhood on the other side? Go ahead, tell me. You remember the smell of the milk and the honey that was in Israel and it's not there anymore? You remember when you opened the oranges, what it smelled, and the banana, what it smelled, and the cucumber, how it smelled, and the apatiyah, how it smelled?
The same here, no chemistry.
No, I'm talking about Israel. Let's go stick there, over there. The point is, as soon as Jew entered in the land of Israel, the land became active. It's a fact. As soon as the Jew went to the land of Israel became active. It started to produce. From everything came out. But the fact is that now we become the biggest producer of pig in the world. And we like to act like Hollywood. And everywhere that we can, we push a nail into it because we want to go by the mode. A civilization of America, of Esav, that's your choice.
But who is us? Here or the Jewish people in Israel?
Everywhere. Irrelevant. We are all the same. We are all the part of the same body and the same vessel. There is no absolutely separation between a Jew and another Jew. One Jew is no better than any other Jew. A Jew is a Jew, a Jew, a Jew. That's it. Cannot differentiate the Jew between different one Jew and another Jew. There is no good Jew and a bad Jew. The Israel, the essence, is good. But the animal, it's a free will. So the energy that at night, the whole day you worked, you hard, you get the what you are supposed to do and you go to sleep in order your neshama to go up and get the shefa and to bring it down. Next day, the animal is the owner of it. Now, give you one more example. The Jews went to Egypt. Did after 200 years that they become a slave, God took them out? Yes, he took them out. Then in 49 days, did he run them to give them the Torah? And yes, did he come down by himself to give the Torah? Yes, did were able to see the voices. That's the Torah says, that they were such a high level of consciousness that they could see the voices of God. Yes? Yes. And what happened? After 40 days, they created the golden calf. They got the highest level, but their eyes deceived them. They wanted to see a God, physical being. in order to call God. And that's why they said, build us a God. We want to see it. This Moshe guy is kind of was a wishy-washy. Maybe the animals, they ate him up there. So build us a God here, Cohen. Because I want to see. He got the energy. But he put it, the animal put it the wrong way. Put it for the physical world. I want to see. I want to touch. I want a God that I can talk to. I want to see him. I want to feel him. I want to smell him. I want to hug him. I want to get angry with him. That was the problem. And that is the problem. That is the concept of Galut of Mitzrayim. But Ariya Kadosh goes one step further. One step further. He says, really, the energy, and I want you to pay attention to this. Come with me. Father and mother, under the chuppah, legally they get married. And they went to create a child, something new, totally new. There's the energy of Zera comes from the moach, from the mind of a man, through his spine, goes through his kliot to his kidneys, get cooked in his kidneys, and is ready a sperm. Originated from the mind of the father. There is an energy starts from the mind of the mother and goes all the way to the womb to produce an egg. At that moment, that consciousness, a cell is born, a new energy is born, totally new. Up till now, never existed. Entering into Egypt, coming out of the Egypt, is exactly the life of this seed. Being born in the womb of a mother. And when the baby wants to come out, mother literally opens the door. She has a door. She keeps the baby and closes the door for 9 months. After 9 months, she opens the door. Push him out. Exactly same Jew that went into Egypt. And when the baby comes out in a comfortable fashion, he's pushed and tsar. It's extremely tsar, like Mitzrayim. He's pushed to the extent that when he comes out, he's black and blue. He gets swollen. That's how hard it is for a baby. Come on, this baby, you touch his head, it's like a water. It has to go through this tsar called Mitzrayim to come out. And as soon as it comes out, new person, free person. Now, it's a total new creation. This is Galut. This is Egypt. 70 nefesh went inside and they started to multiply exactly like a fetus. Fetus is starts with how many cells? One cell. And you want to tell me this one cell, when it comes out after 9 months, he's a 3.5 kilo on average. How one cell became 3.5 kilo in 9 months? This is what we call Ratzon Lekabel. When a baby comes out, how is his hand? Like this. What is the significance of hand like this? You know what? I want to grab everything in the world I can grab. He's at the highest level of animal. I want it. Give it to me. Don't think it's a baby, baby, nicey, nicey, nicey. He has the highest level of receiving for oneself alone. It's me, and if I have to bite you to get it, I'm going to bite to give it. Give me the milk. Literally change your life, your blood, and give it to me. That's how selfish is the baby. That's Yetziat Mitzrayim. When you come out. Same way, you go to sleep and you get up. You go to sleep, you are in the darkness. You come out, you are in the daytime. It's a Laila, darkness. Day, energy, truth. We see that this process in every aspect of our life repeats itself. For what? So my neshama can get closer to the Creator. My nefesh is in the galut. Only a minute aspect of me is in galut. My neshama, my higher self, is out, looking after my affair of my nefesh. Looks after me. Down here, what I need every day, every night, every turn, is to provide me what I need. But in order to receive what I need, what do I have to make down here? A vessel. So what is the purpose of this animal that God has given me? That he has only one thing. Ratzon lekabel. And now we understand the meaning of the Torah. Because after the next pasuk vav, we say, Vayamat Yosef. And Yosef died. Yosef was the first son of Yaakov that died. Levi was the last son. For as long as Yosef was a king, the Jews did not feel the tsar, the pressure, because he was a king. As soon as Yosef died, we see the most important reason why the Jews went to Mitzrayim. And follow what it says. ובני ישראל פרו וישתשו וירבו. They multiplied. Exactly like a fetus in the stomach. Or, in matter of how many years from 3 kilos, I become 50 kilos. I mean, how many times multiply? You see how astronomically my cells increase? How? Do you know anything else in the world to increase so fast? Look at the animals. Elephant. In a matter of no time becomes ton. Why? From where? Desire to receive. That's the nature. Desire to receive. It's the nature. It's the animal within us. It's part of the nature. So he says, here the Jews in Egypt, they multiplied astronomically. And they were exceedingly mighty. They became very strong. But when we say Bnei Israel, whom are we called Israel? I tell you, a person, an energy, a vessel, that has 7 of its midot, of his character, similar to the Creator, is called Israel. I don't care who is his father, his mother. Chesed, Gevura, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Umalchut. 7 level of energy. Those are the 7 demot. That means when God created Israel, Adam, in his image, what is his image? Is his midot, his character. He created this being as to similar to his own character. The more I am similar to this character, I am more similar to the Creator, I am closer to the Creator. So my purpose is to work on my midot, to my characters, to make my characters closer to Hashem. That's why we say, our character when we start as a baby is what? What kind of a ratzon we have? Ratzon lekabel. That means desire to receive for oneself alone. You ask a baby, please share with your brother this. He says, no, this is mine. And you know, by the way, I forgot to tell you, what he has is mine too. Isn't that how we behave? That's called ratzon lekabel. Who behaves? The animal. The purpose is for me to come and change my midot, my character, and make it godly character, which means, what is God's character? Ratzon, his will is what? Lashbia. That means to be a cause. To be a cause. If I can convert my will from desire to receive for oneself alone into the desire of sharing, like God, to be a cause. If I can help somebody, if I can open the light for somebody, if I can make life of somebody easier, if I can do something, I want to do it. I want to have a chance to do it. As a matter of fact, I don't wait till it comes to me. I'm going to go look for it. That energy, this person, this behavior, this consciousness is Israel. And it is true. When there is any problem in the world, the first country that gets up, no matter who it is, and immediately ready to help is Israel. The world knows the heart of a Jew is a compassion heart. That's why we don't have, in our system, in the Judaism, it's not putting anybody to death. We don't have capital punishment. We don't allow ourselves to make such judgments. We are beyond that. There are certain limits that no matter how much believer we are in Torah, but because there is a point of a Jew, Yehudi, inside me, is a certain compassion within me, well-defined and well-established, and will guide me not to go too far. Now, too far from where? What's the purpose was to go to Egypt? One reason, to prepare the vessel in order to receive the Torah. And why do I need the Torah? Why do I need the Torah? Could I have done it without the Torah? Why not? Doesn't the nature teach me everything? Look, he created the ant to tell me what's the ant. He gave me the snake. I know what the snake. He gave me the dog. He gave me every animal, every work in the nature can teach me the secret of life. What do I need the Torah for? Huh? I can learn from the nature. I mean, there are many people who don't believe in Torah, and they are good people. They don't know anything about Torah. They are really good people. So it's not the purpose for me to be good. Oh, the nature, it teaches me that, look, it's enough for me to go to cemetery and see how everybody dies. Then I come to a realization, look, I'm going to die too, so I might as well make the best of it and be happy.
No, to live right.
To live right. The nature teaches me that, look, don't be a chamor, because a chamor is not, and don't be a snake, and don't be, the nature will teach me. What it is that the Torah can teach me that nature cannot teach me, even though the nature is there to teach me everything. The creation, mi bara et ele. Look at the wisdom. No end to it. God's plan. Good. I buy that. I become good. That makes me close to the Creator. There is only one energy in the world, we said, that can cleanse us. And that's studying and doing the Torah. There is no other energy in the world that cleanses me. Cleanses me, my nature, my essence, my animal, and my spirit to go elevate. And why Torah? Because Torah comes from Hora'ah, to teach me what is the wisdom and what is the route and what is the goal. If Torah was not there, I didn't know that I have to make a Mishkan. That means I have to make a place so the godliness can get revealed within it. I wouldn't know that. I wouldn't know this is my responsibility as a Jew. I wouldn't understand the definition of a Jew. And I am not defining a Jew as a person that his mother or her mother is a Jew. A Jew is the one that accepts the rulership of the Torah. That means accepts the keter of the Torah, accepts the keter of Kohanut, and accepts the malchut of Hashem, of Shekhinah. That person is a Jew. That person is working on his midot to become similar to the Creator and not unsimilar to the Creator. So here comes the Torah and continues. Vayakum melech hadash al Mitzrayim. And here comes a new king. New king of what? New king of my body. Because Egypt is my nefesh, is my behemah, is my animal. Is the ruler of my body is who? It's the animal. For 13 years, God gives totally free rein to this energy. So, Melech Hadash, Asher lo yada et Yosef, didn't recognize the importance of Yosef. Didn't he recognize the importance of Emet in the life. Did not recognize, so what if I lie? So what if I steal? So what if I kill? As long as I get what I want, why do I need to be tzaddik like Yosef? Why should I be a tzaddik in my life? Why should I be similar to God? Why should I have a ratzon lashpia? And that was the Melech Hadash. And it gives us a tremendous information. Ve'yomer el amo. And he turned around to his own colleagues. Who are his colleagues? The eye, the ear, the nose, the hands. They're all colleagues of the Yetzer Hara. He comes and he says, look, Hine am b'nei Israel. These people that they want to be kadosh, they want to go the way of God and they want to become similar to God. Those that they want to go the way of the truth, those that they want to convert the ratzon lekabel to ratzon lashpia, those that they want to sacrifice themselves in order to get closer to God, those that they are not thinking about this world, thinking about next world. That brings us to a question. How many of you are really thinking of future? How far do you go? Retirement. Wherever it is. Now, really, how far we go? Huh?
Death.
Until death? That's the future? Hey, don't you want to see the day that all these things is done and you are there to graduate? Don't you want to see the finality? Don't you want to be part of where they put all the flags off and then hallelujah, hallelujah, Zman HaMashiach? Don't you want to be part of it? Don't you want to see the end of all your works? Through all the Gilgulim and the back and forth of 1,000 years? Don't you want to see it? How much of it do you think? How much of Olam Haba do you think? How much of the time that you're going to be free you think of? Never. Thank you. Really never. As a matter of fact, even if you are very dati, religious, quote unquote, and you really stick to the rules and you keep God around you, during the day, inevitably you forget God. Many times. You don't remember that you have a relation with God, do you? All the time? Look, if you honestly remember all the time you have a relation with God and there is a relation one-to-one between you and God, you wouldn't do any sin, would you? Would you steal? Would you lie? Would you make any choices that are not kadosh? Now, let's go a step forward. Here it comes, and Ve'yomer el amo, he tells to his am, hine, the word hine, the first letter is hey, just keep it in your memory. Am, that's the nation, the first letter is ein. Bnei Israel, first letter is bet yud, rav atzum mimenu. The Yetzer Hara, that's Yechid. We are talking singular here. The Yetzer Hara comes and looks and says, you know, this guy slowly, he became Atzum. Now he keeps Shabbat. Now he's talking about kosher. Oh, you know what? Now he wants to study Torah. He's getting really bigger. Wait a minute, where this guy is going? I cannot let him, this guy. If the really neshama gets the rulership of the body, the animal has to do what? They have to change places. Instead of the soul to become the slave of the animal has to become, the Yetzer Hara has to become the slave of the neshama, and therefore, hey, wait a minute, we better stop this before this gets serious. And this is Melech Hadash. As soon as you start and you say, you know what, I want to be responsible in my life. I want to find my responsibility. I want to find my place in Judaism. I'm a Jew, period. I want to act like a Jew. I want to be Jew, and I want to have my responsibility into this Knesset. I'm part of a whole. I'm a part of a nation. And you know what? Nobody else can replace anything for me other than a Jew and the God of a Jew. I honestly don't have any friends other than another Jew. I don't. That's the truth. And as soon as you want to do this, and here Yetzer Hara is not going to give you a free rein. He's not going to tell you, go and have a fine time. I'm going to come with you. I'm going to accept your rulership. He's going to fight you with teeth, and he's going to fight you with all his might. That's how Pharaoh did. And by the way, that's what we said in the other class. I would like to few pointers. Why we know that when the Jews finally, after he gets beaten up, and why God every time beats him up, he makes his heart hard. Why? Is it what kind of a God it is? You beat him up, he wants to say sorry. Let him say I'm sorry and let him go. Why you keep on making his heart the more heavy heart so he says to you no again? So you can beat him up some more? Is that the reason? I mean, you like to beat God, this guy, you beat him up, at night he gets tired, he comes, he says, okay, you know Jews, go, leave me alone. And then he gets up in the morning, he says, hey, where are you going? No, you're not going to go. Who did it? God told Moshe, you know what? He's not going to accept your word, but I want you to go to him and tell him let the Jews go because they want to pray to God. They want to make sacrifices to God. He says, okay, but by the way, I want to tell you, Moshe, he's not going to listen to you. So why do you send me to him? Number one, if God wouldn't make the heart of Yetzer Hara, every time hard again, there's no free will. If I beat you up and you are all demolished and bleeding, and I say, okay, you give up, what do you say? If you see I'm standing right on top of you and I have a hammer in my hand and this is it, I'm going to give you the final blow. What are you going to say? You're going to say, I give up. So God made his heart hard. So the guy says, you know what? Still I can win this guy. Wait. One more time. Gave him a free will. God does the same thing with my Yetzer Hara and your Yetzer Hara. Makes you bache poru. That means gives you chutzpah. You have a chutzpah. Once you got beaten up, you don't learn a lesson. You don't. I don't. I say, no, this time I'm going to make it. Why? Because God makes my heart again. Hard. Like stone. He says, I want you to with your free will. That's number one. Now this tricky Yetzer Hara, what he does, when he's finally ready to give up. He says, by the way, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to let you owe everybody to go. I'm let you even, you take all your animals to go. But do me a favor, please, while you are with your God, pray for me. Isn't that what he says in the Torah? Anybody remember this part? Yes. He says, you know, when you are with your God, now that I am, I let you go, do me a favor, pray for me. Why he says that? This guy doesn't believe in God. He knows God, but he doesn't believe in this God. He thinks that God, you know, you are the God of the sky. Stay in the sky. Don't bother me down here. I'm the God down here. So you have your territory. I have my territory. Don't bother me. That's Pharaoh. That's the Yetzer Hara. So what's the reason they say, go pray for me to your God? Because remember when we have a sick person, we come to a friend, to a spiritual person. Say, please, when you go to Beit Knesset for Shabbat, you have a sick person, this is the name, his name and his mother's name. Pray for him. So what do? You first of all force yourself to remember, oh, his name was Avraham ben Chana. Avraham ben Chana. So you come, you remember Avraham ben Chana. You remember, you come Shabbat, all Shabbat, you are, say, look, I promised this person, I have to pray for this person. And in your prayers, while you are talking to God, you say, God, you know, there is this guy, he's called, his name is Avraham ben Chana. It's really a good, like, you gotta help him too. Here it is, I'm here. Please, my share is to request from you whatever I can do. Please help, okay? Now, if I do this for Pharaoh, what have I done? There is a concept called out of sight, out of mind. But if I keep the name of Pharaoh and energy of Pharaoh continuously in my sight because I promised him to pray for him, do I forget Pharaoh? That's why he says, God took the Jews out of Egypt, but the Jews didn't take the Egypt out of themselves. We are all foreigners, but somehow we are connected to our past. But which past? Not to God. Not to Abraham, Isaac, Yaakov. If I'm Persian, I remember all the good food that I had in Persia. You know, we had such a good life in Iran. And it was so beautiful and it was so nice. And the Jews came out of Egypt, they said, oh, you know, we used to eat fish in Egypt. There is no more fish in Midbar. We're missing for one good fish. What that shows? The consciousness is connected to the wrong consciousness. Instead of me connect myself to the consciousness of godliness, holiness, the Ratzon Lashpia, to become a Jew, to become a Bnei Israel, to become a Yehudi, to complete my work here, because here is only one step. Come on, what beauty do we see here? You know, the only time that you feel and you will enjoy the beauty of this life is only time when you do the work that you are supposed to do in this world. That's the only time you will enjoy it. Otherwise, me and you working like a dog, and we're going to make a lot of money, and we're going to leave it and go. And by the way, that diamond ring that I worked so hard for it, and I wanted it so much, when I'm going, they say, open his hand, take it out. And they take it out and say, okay, now send him down. That's why God created the ant. The ant eats, works, walks, works, walks, sleeps, only to accumulate more, and then at the end dies without benefiting from anything. That's the nature showing us. So here he says, Ele Shemot Bnei Israel, it is coming, that's a rebirth. Why God telling me about it now? This month. To prepare me. Because I am the aspect of the goat that has the stamina to go up to the top of the mountain. I am the Capricorn. I am the one that can use the energy of the moment. Which is what? Preparing myself to find freedom. The most important thing in my life is freedom. How long it is that we have not felt free? Honestly, which one of you feel free? Are you free? Do you think about you are free and you want to be free? If you honestly don't put your consciousness that I want one day to be free, if you don't put it, if you don't think of it, you will never reach it. Example, all these fiction stories. Would you have accepted if I would have told you 30 years ago that, you know, you put a piece of paper here in this machine, it's going to come out the other side of the world? Would you accept that? So it's a fiction. It was once a story, but came reality. So if I can prepare and make a consciousness that I want to be free, I want to reach my potential, I want to complete my work. Think of it. Connect with it. Then you're bound to see it. You will bound to see freedom. But if you take a day at a time and say, let's see what's going to happen mañana, you're on automatic mode. Bravo. I can make the choice between good and bad. The question is, what do we define as freedom? What is freedom? Freedom that I can make a choice. That's number one. But the correct choice. Who wants to make a wrong choice? A freedom that I have established my place in this world. If I don't know what am I here for, am I free? If I don't know that I am belong to what and why, am I free?
It's very tricky because you're free because you don't know your responsibility.
What do I think freedom? I see the freedom. You know what? If I have in my account now $100 million, probably I'm very free. Can I get anywhere else stuck?
Some places, but not everywhere.
Yeah, but can I get stuck? Can I get stuck in a chair?
Yeah.
With all that money?
Mm-hmm.
Am I free? Mm-hmm. Freedom is when all these things is nullified. There are none of those things. Freedom that if I want to go to Beit HaMikdash and I made a mistake and I want to correct that mistake, I have the freedom and capability to do it. The freedom that if I want to come face to face with my Creator, I should be able to handle it.
So is there anybody free in this world?
Not yet. But.
Not even Sadiq?
Here we go. You can reach that moment. That as soon as you recognize that whatever happens in your life is for your good. Here we go again. If you reach to the consciousness that you understand beyond shadow of doubt. Understand. That means no doubt. That everything in your life is for your good. And it is good. And it's going to take you to your destination and you will bear sweet fruit out of it. If you don't have doubt, what state are you in? That's called freedom. That's called freedom. That's called geula.
Regardless of our choices?
My choices are only one thing. There won't be choices of what? Because whatever I want is there. I don't have to make choice. There is no more wrong. The only moment the totality of the truth is revealed, that's when I am released. For as long as there is concealment of truth, my essence, my potentials is not into action, I'm not free. As long as I have bad habits, I'm not free. As long as I'm addicted, I'm not free. A lot of thought and action required to achieve that freedom. Absolutely correct. And for that reason, God gave the Torah. For specifically this reason, that we find our freedom. That's our goal. That's a goal that I want to have my respect back. I want to find my place in this creation. I am misplaced. I am in Galut. Galut means when a consciousness, a Jew, a neshama is misplaced. Misplaced. Or you can be in Hollywood, Los Angeles, or you can be in the center of Yerushalayim. Still you are misplaced. Until such a time that you reveal the godliness and you reveal the responsibility that God has given to you. And that's the secret of the book of Shemot, is to learn how to come out of Egypt. And that's why today God is teaching us to prepare ourselves for Purim. What is the Purim? Is when literally we hang Haman. Who is Haman? Is the source of, the seed of, the fruit of Yetzer Hara. Where is this Haman? Is within ourselves. As soon as we get this Haman within ourselves, we hang it. We see Purim, we see Mashiach. And that's the time of Yetziat Misraim. Because exactly after Purim, 1 month after Purim is what? It's Pesach. Now, I want to finalize this aspect of very important what the Torah says. Ve'yomer el amo hine am b'nei Yisrael rav v'atzum. Reshei Tevot, beginning of the every word, is he'evirom. He'evirom. Yeah, that means they made a ibur. They took every one thing from them. Ve'he'eviru from them. They took away from them. What was taken away from a Jew in Egypt, in Galut? He says, Brit HaKadosh. The Jews that went into Egypt, did every one of them, the 70, those that they are Zachar, they are male, they went through Brit Milah? They had Brit Milah? They had circumcised? All of them. And you know, after about 140 years, none of the Jews did Brit Milah. None. They forgot. They lost it. They didn't find any purpose to do Brit Milah. What for? God? What contact with God? Look, I am in heaven. I'm in Goshen. I am in the Beverly Hills of Mizraim. I'm enjoying myself. I have the best of the best. What contract with God? Why? God did not create those Egyptians? I'm not talking about these Egyptians today. God didn't create Pharaoh. Another God created Pharaoh. Same God created Pharaoh. All the humanity, they are all the same, aren't they? We are all the same. Look, we have all of us 2 eyes and 2 ears. We look all the same. But the soul of a Jew is different. He went and he saw the ways of Egyptian. He says, what do I have to do Brit Milah? We saw this in the Galut. When the Torah says, right at the beginning, that the Ele Shemot B'nei Yisrael Habaim, Habaim, the word Habaim is written Bet Alef Yud Mem. Already his Torah is telling us that we have to go to 4 Galuyot in order to make the business. Habaim Bet stands for Galut Babel. Aleph stands for Galut Edom. Yud stands for Galut Yavan. And Mem stands for Galut of Madai, Paras. Torah tells us in advance that what I am telling you in the Torah as the Galut of Egypt is the Galut that you are in it. The Galut that you were in it. And the Galut that you will be in it until it is finished. And he's giving the name of it. We already seen the Galut of Babel. We saw the Galut of Yavan. And this was written long before. We saw the Galut of Edom. We are still in it. We saw the Galut of Paras. We all witness it. And he says, so what hiviru from the Jews when they go to the Galut? What do you think this Galut is? Who is Galut? Edom. Who is Edom? Esav. Galut Esav is Edom. Galut Madai is Paras and Ishmael. Bavel and Yavan is those that be passed. We are right now doing the final part of the Galut, which is Ishmael and Edom together. Mitzrayim is the totality of all the Galuyot. Right. The totality of Galuyot is called Mitzrayim in the Torah. And the Torah brings the Galut Mitzrayim as the totality of what is the meaning of a Galut. So whichever Galut I am in the history of Israel, which same Jews, I went to Babel. I went to Yavan. I was in the Galut of Yavan. I was in the Galut of Madai. I am in the Galut of Edom. I mean, come on. You think somebody really is not in control whether Khomeini comes or not? That a certain of my life I have to leave everything and suddenly from one corner of the world go to another corner of the world? You think I was in control of it or planning of it? No. There are certain nitzutzim that I have to do in Iran. Now there is a nitzutzim that I have to do here. And practically maybe later on somewhere else I have to go and do the work.
Galut is galut.
Galut is a galut. Absolutely. And part they do it in Israel. Now, what's the difference to do the Galut in Israel and to do it outside of Israel? Especially you guys that were born. Huh?
This is our question to you.
Very good. Look at the Israel. Yerushalayim is the center of energy of the totality of the world. The world nourishes from Yerushalayim. It's very simple. That's why everybody wants this piece of property. Everybody. Even the guy who doesn't believe it, he wants it. He doesn't know why, but he says everybody. This is expensive property. Now, look at all the Israelis. Two things that you find in Israelis. One, every time they talk together, he says, Rega, 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 Rega. That means, you know what? Whatever you're saying, it's worthless. Just stop it and listen to me. That's the ultimate desire to receive. Now, hold on. You go and you see most in Israel what? Smoking. And the smoking is not the smoking of pleasure, smoking of tremendous amount of nervousness. Tremendous amount. And the pressure is like a pressure cooker. No matter what you are, I mean, you go to the Chof Hayam, you have the best view, you have the best, but still you're like an egg in a hot oil. You go bzzz, because of the energy. You said, release me and let me go. Just give me a breather. This is too much. This is too much. It's too much cooking. Some they have to do the tikkun under those circumstances. Some they do the tikkun in these circumstances. And may God help us all to have and finish it in the peace and shalom and with rachmanut. With Rachmanut to finish it. But we gotta go through it. And he's saying that by going to Galut, the first thing you will forget is the Brit, the contract you have with God. And we have. Who thinks about that? I have contract with God. I didn't have. It was Abraham. He signed it. Go after him.
So does he come firstborn with us because of that?
Oh, yes. Why?
As much as killing 6 million people.
Oh, listen. Here we get to that. We get to that. I'm not afraid to tap into it. Truth is the truth. But we got to see it together. We got to see it the same eyes. He says, a Jew. And it was a thought that you took me away from. No. If it has to come, it's going to come. The fact that we are in Galut And we have a responsibility to learn in the Galut and achieve. Is most of all, we are responsible for the whole world, for the whole Olam Enoshi. The Enoshiot. What is Enoshiot? Humanity. We are responsible for humanity. We are. If the humanity is in such a bad shape, it's because of the Jews. That I absolutely grant. And the reason that they dislike us because we don't do our job properly. We are not honest and we are not tzaddik. And we have to be am tzaddikim. Because we are bearer of his wisdom. And the only thing is to convert the desire to receive for oneself alone. And this is concentrated in Israel. That's why there is so nervousness. That's why nobody is patient. That's why everybody's hand is on the bzzz, on the making noise. It's because the vessel is not ready to give up. It's too much animal in it. Absolutely. Absolutely. Nothing happens in your life because your intelligence really sat down and planned. Forget it. There is nothing bemikre. Everything is planned and works like a Swiss watch and better. Now, the point is that what the central point is that we come to Galut and God brings the Galut and he puts a gezer on the Galut. He puts a ruleship that, you know what, I want them to forget the essence of what they are. Totally forget it. Exactly like the baby which is in the womb of the mother. When the baby is in the womb of the mother, there is a malach for the baby that teaches the totality of the Torah to the baby. Totality. From the beginning to the end. That means the baby receives total light. Complete. Same way that God took Adam and put him in Gan Eden and told him, here it is my heaven, all for you. Eat. Enjoy. Same way with the baby. Inside the womb, he's in his swimming pool. Doesn't have to worry for a thing in the world. The poor mother has to take his life, her life, the blood, and convert for the food for the baby. But there is a problem here too. If she gets angry, he gets it. If she eats something bad, he gets it. If she lies, he gets it. Whatever she does, she becomes his God. The baby's God. She defines his future while she has it inside. Same thing with us. When I am in Galut, I am being judged. They rule me. I'm a slave. So God said, and we're going to study very soon, when he brings us out of Egypt, Hotzati otcha. I was the one that you got stuck into Egypt, the Egypt that you created for yourself. I came and I brought you out of the Egypt. That's step one. Two, Hitzalti otcha. And you know what? After I took you out of the Egypt, the Egyptian, after 24 hours, had second thought. They said, wow, we did a stupid deal here. We let the Jews go. Look at the Russia. Let the Jew go. Division. Let's get him back. And if they don't come, we're going to kill him. So they ran. Hitzalti otcha. I saved you. So first, I brought you out of Egypt. That was one deal. But then I saw that you got again into trouble. They came after you to kill you. I came and I saved you. And then what I did, Ga'alti otcha, I even freed you. Because a slave is a slave, and the end a slave, and the end a slave. If you are addicted to something, no matter what, you are addicted. If you are alcoholic, to the end of your life, you are alcoholic. You never become unalcoholic. You are always alcoholic. If you are avid, you are always avid. God says, you know what? In your deal, I'm going to do something better. I am ga'altiotcha. That means I gave you the freedom. That means you do not even feel in your heart that you were ever a slave. And that's freedom. That's geula. That even in my heart, I don't remember my sins. I don't remember the dark days. That is my freedom. Because if I remember the dark days, I remember the slavery, I will never become free. So he says, Ga'alti otcha. That's three things. Four thing, Alakachti otcha la'am. And I took you as my nation. I want you to be my nation. Now you go and figure out how we're going to answer him. Huh? Say it loud. Say it's, that's, you are giving the most expensive things that you have in your life to this moment. And that's your time. You don't have anything more valuable than that. It's your time. And you are giving it up to sit down and listen to Divrei Torah. In that, I am indebted to you. And as much I will try my best, every question that we have, I think we have enough questions. I wish. I honestly, I wish.
I have another parasha note for this.
Okay, go ahead.
May I?
Of course. 70 panim le Torah.
But before that, I wanted to ask something which you mentioned before, that we, the reason we learn the Torah is to learn and to learn and to learn. Right?
No, to cleanse. Torah is two parts. There is two Torah, first of all. There is not one Torah. There is a Torah Bechtav, is a written Torah, and the Torah Balpeh. Both are aspect of the Torah. Both. It's not only single. It's not only aspect of what is written. It's the aspect of what is defined too by the Torah. It's called Kabbalah. It's the aspect of the Kabbalah, which is Torah Balpeh. Now, the only reason God has given us the Torah is to cleanse ourselves in order to see the Geula. In order to see the Geula, to see the freedom, to see that, yes, only Shavateinu Kabelu Shmatza Aketeinu is when the moment that I see that I am so far, I am so much darkness, is so much unknown in my life. And I come to point, I say, enough is enough. I want to know. I want to bring light into my life. I want to understand the purpose of me. Is it me to be what I'm doing? To go to work, come to sleep and eat, and once in a while have a little bit of a bone with a little bit of steak on the side, and get whack my tail because I got a steak for today? Is that my purpose? With all this pain that I have to go through, because it's inevitable, I will see pain. I will see my own father and mother at good time, Bezrat Hashem, for everybody. I have to see their death. It's not an easy task. My heart is going to get broken. For that, it's not a good deal. So it's got to be more than that. And the nature is telling me it's more than that. I see rejuvenation in nature. I see newness. I see a tree goes no leaves and bare, and yet it rejuvenates and again full of fruit. Am I less than a tree? Go ahead, ask the question.
First of all, about that, I think that even people that I was speaking with spoke before in the past, most religious people, and you asked us about if we see the future and how far can we see and what we see and if we see the Geulah.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that even these most religious people, they know that the Geulah will come, but none of them believe it will come in their time here. So, does it mean anything that nobody believed that he would see the Geulah?
Okay, everybody heard this? Let's go the following. First, divine, what I understand what religiosity means. The word for it, and I would like to go to Hebrew, because Hebrew is going to define it most appropriately, is called Dati, correct? And Dati is written Dalet Taf Yud. And what Dati stands, as far as a Jew is concerned, Da'at for Dalet, Taf is Tiferet, that means balance, and Yud is the Brit, that means covenant with Creator. That's Dati. That I accept the covenant that I have with God, accept that. I accept that I have to bring balance into this world, that means peace, Shalom, that's the only way it comes. Sim shalom, bracha, uchen, vechesed, rachamim. That's what shalom is. And to bring knowledge, that. Knowledge of Creator, the truth. We have a knowledge of not truth, sheker. But the knowledge, that's dati. I don't define dati any other way. And this person, this dati, oh, certainly thinks and believes and knows that Geulah will come. Otherwise, it's a worthless creation. Absolutely. Freedom. From all the Ra. All the Ra. That means total separation from Ra. Bad. Total. Freedom from Ra. Prior coming out of the heaven, Adam was free of the Ra. Ra was outside. The Nachash was outside. Adam allowed the Nachash to come in. Now I have to make the effort to take it out. And that's my duty. That's my duty. And to be a Jew is a zechut. I honestly pray every day. I say, thanks God, I'm a Jew. I wouldn't like to eat cat and dogs. I really, even if I have to go to Thailand because something is written, can you imagine to barbecue a dog? Or, I mean, I'm glad that I'm conscious of what I put into my body, because I am what I eat. We know that, the science has told us. So is my nature of spirit. Is my spirit is what I define it is. If I get up in the morning and I am walk the walk with the light, and understanding that my duty is today is to go find freedom. And the only person that can help me, the only energy that can help me is godliness. It's truth. Seek the truth in my life. Seek the truth. Where? The truth is hidden in my darkness. The light comes out of darkness. The kadosha comes out of tuma. The diamond comes out of this black stone. I gotta take it out. That's my effort. That's my free will. And for that I need the Torah. For that I need the mitzvot. Yes, go ahead. Ask me questions. It's time. I'm coming to you guys now. Yes.
I have to. The first one.
Go one by one.
Yes. The first one, I want to go back to the Galut because, you know, we're talking among the, you know, friends, Israeli friends. How come there is no difference being in here or in Israel? How come, like, I'm in the same position and there are no any, let's call it advantage or something like that? Live as a Jew in Israel.
Okay. First of all, there is an advantage to live in Israel. Absolutely be sure of that. There's a much more opportunity you have spiritually to do it in Israel. And finally, we got to do it. Final aliyah is to Israel, beyond shadow of a doubt. The difference here is that the pressure is not as much.
We take the easy life?
God will honestly put you where you are necessary to do the job. Because with all the brain that you and me we have, we really don't control our life. I really did not plan to be here in Los Angeles. It was far-fetched from my idea of coming to Los Angeles. But the circumstances, the law of no alternative, brought me to Los Angeles. And so is your case. Let's go to your question. And come back with your second question. I want to just scatter it. Yes, please. Okay, the ego is more or less is another name of this animal energy. Animal energy is not like it's animal. It's part of nature. But nature itself acts on desire to receive for oneself alone. That's the characteristic that God has embedded in the nature. It's the reason that tree goes up. It's the reason that the fire sheiks go up. This is the reason that the water goes down. Because it's nature. It's desire to receive for oneself alone is embedded in the nature. That desire to receive for oneself alone is part of man's nature as well. However, to the animal, it did not give free will to choose, but gave to man thought and consciousness in order to differentiate between good and bad, dark and light, in order to separate. Don't forget, we are here to separate and unite the good. Unite the good, Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad, to bring unification with Echad, with Hashem, by separating the bad from my character, from my being. The animal is there for me to exercise the free will. If the animal, I don't want to kill the animal. I don't want to destroy the animal. I want to convert the animal. You know when they used convert in Torah? The convert is not is to get a non-Jew and say, you know what, that is a mitzvah to promote. Probably if in the body of somebody there is a spark of Judaism, he will eventually is going to come close to Judaism, and we see it in our age. But the ger is that yetzer hara within you that you brought from being a yetzer hara to yetzer, to help the yetzer tov to reach his destination. That is ger. He is not a Jew. The yetzer hara is not a Jew. Because a Jew doesn't have, should not have a Ratzon Lekabel. He has a Ratzon Lekabel. But he is going to convert his Ratzon Lekabel to Almenat Ratzon Lahashpia. He is Ratzon Lekabel. But he receives for sake of sharing. For sake of being a cause. For sake of to become closer to Hashem. Now you need the ego. The ego makes you move. If you put down this ego, if you destroy this ego, if you break it, going to give up. He says, I'm not going to fight it anymore. I don't want it. Let me go. I don't want it anymore. That's why you feed. That's why you eat. That's why you sleep. All this is, that's why there is moments of pleasure, because if there is no those moments of pleasure, nobody will continue. So it makes you happy, and then you think, okay, tomorrow is going to be happy. Tomorrow is going to be better. We're going to make it better. But in reality, are we getting better? We're becoming wiser, but we are not becoming stronger. Yeah, look, these knees are not working like 20 years ago. The eyes are going cockeyed already. And this is reality, but I gotta save this reality, observe the moment, use the moment, and acquire what I am while I am having it, even I have the eyes up till now, to use, observe the moment, use the eyes to gain something that can support me in my Olam Haba, in my future. And what is that, what I am working for? Shem Tov. What is Tov? Means whole. I want to create a name that is not only aspect of me, but this a name that covers totality of me. Not only part of me. Tov is when it represents total of me. If I say Yosef, it's really Yosef HaTzadik. If it's a Moshe, it's really Moshe Rabbeinu. If it's a Yaakov, it's Yaakov Avinu. Not only an aspect by name. The guy's name is Yaakov, but there is no iota of truth in that person. It's not Yaakov. Superficially, his name is Yaakov. The whole purpose is to create and come up with a Shem Tov. And that is a blessing, therefore, for me that I am in the Galut. It's a blessing that I am alive today. It's a blessing that I am here today. It's a blessing that I have opportunity to work. You know, one should not go to God. He says, God, I miss this, I miss that, I miss this. And by the way, don't do this on Shabbat because it works just the opposite. Everybody says, okay, now you know what? One day I'm going to go to God and that's Shabbat. I want to keep Shabbat. And he goes, and Shabbat, he keeps on asking God, God, you know, I need this, I need that, I need this. Please help me. You blame her all on Shabbat. And that's Chilul Shabbat. This is destroying Shabbat. On Shabbat, you don't ask nothing. Refuse. Why? Because if you ask on Shabbat from God, I need this, I need that, I need that, you're saying that the Shabbat is not complete. But Shabbat is complete. So what are you asking God? I need this, I need that. That means you're feeling lack. On Shabbat is a menucha, no feeling lack. You should not feel lack. You gotta come on Shabbat and say, hey, Souda, this is happy time. Put Shulchan Aruch! You know what, God? Everything is good. Hallelujah. That's Shabbat.
So when can we ask?
You have 6 days. Sheshet Yamim Ta'avot. 6 days ask. And you know, 6 days I work for you. But on Shabbat? Stay quiet. What is the tefillah? No, absolutely not. The tefillah is putting all the nitzutzim that you work for 6 days, you are putting in a nice basket, you put nice fruits in this, and you send it to God. It says, God, I work for those nitzutzim. I would like to present it to you. God says, wow, you made a silver thing, and you put a lot of fruit. He says, okay, thank you very much. He takes the fruit that you brought him, and what do you think he's going to do with your vessel? Just like that? Fills it up. It's like when you make asherashte and you send it to your neighbor. Neighbor is not going to send the what you send. You make a food again. You make a soup and you send it to your neighbor. I'm teaching you Farsi too in interim. You know? Because the Parsim are going to play in the final role. The Parsim are going to play a big role. It's a zechut to know Farsi. Yes, go and I'll come back. Good. The question is, if God brought the Jews out of Egypt and then saved them and then gave them freedom and then he took them as his own nation, why? He told them, you know, none of you gonna go to Eretz Israel other than two of you. Yoshua ben Nun. No, Aaron died outside. Even Aaron didn't go. Yoshua ben Nun, Caleb ben Yefuneh, and Yoshua ben Nun. Two people out of all these things. Very good question. But it lacks some very important points. Yeah, God said, first God brought the Jews to the Har Sinai and gave them the Torah. And they waited 40 days, and after 40 days, they forgot all the miracles and the good things that God did them. And they create a golden calf. And God, and Moshe went to God and says, God, you know, you are angry, I know, but very simple. In your system, is there any mercy? And God said, yes. He says, look, we want to pray for mercy. So forgive. God, you said, you know what? I love you guys. Okay. No problem. You know, I've got to help you guys. Don't trust your eyes. Because you went after your eyes and you became really a prostitute. So be careful. This energy of eyes in a Jew is very strong. Please take care. So you remember? He says, you remember. So he brought them finally to the land of Israel. They are on the border. He says, Mr. Moshe? He says, yes. Prepare the Jews for entry to Eretz Israel. And Moshe goes to the God, says, God, I know that you are our God and you do all the fight, but these guys want to do it on their own. They want to go into Eretz Israel to see what is going on. They don't want to just walk in. Maybe there are enemies there waiting for the Jews. I mean, come on, you want us to use our head? You style, you back up us. He says, okay, shalach lecha meraglim. He says, you go send to somebody. But I'm telling you, this land that I'm going to give you is the land of honey and davash. It's a honey and milk and honey. Trust me, I'm your God. I'm telling you this. You go to Israel, the whole land. You don't have to fight. I'm going to give you the sweetness of the life. Hold on. After I went in. And you know what I did? I came back and I did Lashon Hara on God. I came back, say, you know, it's God, it's great, it's beautiful, whatever he says is correct. But you know what's going on in Israel? You think you can fight all these Arabs?
I forgot about that. The honey is very expensive.
And the honey is so expensive. Is there no more land? No more water. Everything that they are sending this the killing. And they came and they said Lashon Hara against God. God said, I don't think you have learned the lesson. Get out of there. You're not worthy of it to go. I brought you out. I saved you. I came, gave you the Torah. I walked with you. I stayed with you. I showed you 1 year every week you saw miracle. I still show you miracle. Come on. Who woke you up this morning? Honestly. Who woke you up this morning? Tell me. Oh, you are on automatic mode, really? I didn't know that. I think your brain and your intelligence is running the show. Now, let's go one by one. I will wrestle with everybody, one by one. We want to solve. We want to understand. We want to go forward. I cannot go to my destination without you guys. I need you guys. I mean it. So what it takes from me to do, I'll do it. But the fact is, let's go step by step, solve the problem. Every question you have, there is an answer. So there was one more person here. Yes, please.
You say that when Jews leave, the empire falls, basically. So why don't we leave Israel right now so that the Palestinian empire falls and then we can go back?
I don't have to leave. I don't have the leaf. They do. They are doing a good job out of it. Listen. What am I living to? Let the empire to have who? It's my land. When Yeshua went to Eretz Israel, he had to fight for years. You're not going to get it for free, now that you made it. What you work for, you enjoy and you earn. What you earn, what you get for free, you don't appreciate. Go back to your childhood. Those things that they brought you for free and you got it. Two minutes you played with it, you throw it out. But the one that you cried for, even if it is a torn blanket, you still hold it in your hand. It's my blanket. Didn't we? That's exactly the same. But I have to fight it the smart way. It is very good. You know what it is that the general, Israeli general, goes first before the soldier? That's a Jew. It's mine. And I have to do the Mesirat Nefesh. I'm not supposed to talk about it. I'm not there doing the fight. I really feel ashamed. I'm indebted. I do my best here. Whatever I can do. But which mother, which father wants to see his son go to war? You don't want it. But you know how many fallen, 18, 19, 20. It's enough to go to the Har and you see everybody, 18, 20, 22, 23. And this guy hasn't, his mouth is still smells milk. Hasn't enjoyed his life. And I give it up and go. But there's no empire for me to let go. Go back to the history when the Jews were not in majority or in control. What happened to the land? It was swamp. Swamp. Malaria. So much filth. Same land that you see now, what you see today, was swamp. And they had it for years. And you want to tell me they didn't have enough money to take care of it? Or not enough people? Or maybe they didn't have enough brain. One of the above. Or all the above. That's the question. Let's go to your second question.
The process of giving birth for us symbolizes Yetziat Mitzrayim and everything.
Absolutely. The womb and the Yetziat is all from the beginning to the end.
All the goyim goes through the same process.
Absolutely.
And they wake up in the morning too.
Now, imagine, absolutely, they were different. Superficially, if we are any different, then we will know that there is really difference. The choice will be very easy. But there is a neshama within a Jew that is different than the neshama that is not. He has a neshama. But his neshama gets cleansed differently than my neshama gets cleansed. You have a Volkswagen, as an example, with all the respect to Volkswagen, and you have a Ferrari, with all the respects to Ferrari, as the case may be. Can you put, or no, let me make it a little bit different. You have a Mercedes with diesel gas, and you have a Ferrari with 105 octane gas. Can you put in the Ferrari the diesel gas? But it's gas. It won't work. It might work, but it won't work properly. Same if you put a 105 octane into the Mercedes, which is a very good gas with a high octane. This machine will burn out quickly. So am us. The vessels are the vessel, the same. They are both automobile carrying and have a purpose. Both the same. But one in the form of a Ferrari, one form of Mercedes-Benz, and both are good cars. The process of birth is part of a nature.
Single thing is, you know, this is tzar, so
we need to go through the Tsar and everything, and
for them to come to this world, he says, we are doing a Magbil, we are doing a parallel. Same process that is for everybody in nature, even the animal, even the donkey has to go through the Tsar. But still, when he goes through the Tsar, still he's a donkey. He was a donkey in his stomach, he comes out of the day, he's still a donkey. But not a Jew. A Jew goes through the Galut, he enters maybe half donkey, but when he comes, he is the donkey of Mashiach. I'll give you an example, because there is a talking about the donkey, is the reason. He says, Avraham chavash et chamoro. That means on Tuesday it was, Avraham, when God told him, go and sacrifice Isaac, he got up and he put he went to his own. He had a Eliezer to do. He went himself and he put his, what is this we put on the
saddle.
The donkey, the horse is saddle, but the donkey is something else. So they put the saddle, and he didn't sit on it. He took the donkey, he put the wood and the fire on the donkey, and he went to the har. That's Abraham. Then it comes to Moshe. He says, Moshe took the donkey and put his children on the donkey, and he took them to Egypt. That's in the Torah. And then it comes, there is another donkey called Mashiach. But this donkey of Mashiach is white, and he's sitting on top of it. Now what's the difference between these three? The following. The donkey in Hebrew means chamor. Chamor, same letters of chomer, material world. Abraham was a very rich man. He was in control of his chamor. He put the saddle on him, but he was not able to sit on the chamor. That means he didn't use yet, learn how to use the material world in order to bring Ratzon Lashpia. The material world for Ratzon Lashpia. Yeah, Moshe went one step ahead. He couldn't do it himself. That's why he didn't enter into the land of Israel. But his children, he put on the chamor. But the chamor was not white yet. But the chamor of Mashiach, it's not really a white chamor. It's coming from the east side of the Jerusalem. He said, oh, Mashiach is here. No! It means when a Jew is able to utilize the chomer, the material world, white, that means for desire to share. Now give it to me, mine. You know this Lord of Rings? He looked at the ring, this guy, and says, precious. You are the ring. You are the precious. And he died for the precious ring. We shouldn't die for the material. He says, you make this material, you sit on it. In control, white, for only purpose of desire to share. Now I am just about exhausted. It is, yes, go ahead. Yes, we go two more. Go ahead. Right. The idea was that they forgot their covenant with the Creator. They forgot the idea of why they came to Egypt. They forgot the idea of they have to go back to Eretz Israel. They forgot that they took their own father, Yaakov, and they buried it in Israel. Why Yaakov did ask, made Yosef to promise that he will take him to Israel. So at least the kids say, look, our father is buried in Israel. We cannot be here. They forgot. They forgot the whole purpose of why they came to Egypt. That's why in the Pesach, he says, orders that there will be a breed, so they take the blood of the breed and the blood of the lamb, and they put it on the mezuzah. That's, we will reach that they had to do milah. They, As soon as Moshe did not do his own children, Brit Milah. Moshe! And as soon as they were the Yetziat Misraim, the process of Yetziat Misraim started, the Malach HaMavet came to kill Moshe. And it was Zipporah that immediately took and made the Brit Milah and the children, and the Malach HaMavet left the Moshe. So that means the Yetziat Mitzrayim, it's impossible. And only one-fifth came out of Egypt, by the way. Majority stayed in Egypt. They did not believe in Olam Haba. They did not believe in Geulah. They did not believe that God is going to give them the Torah. They did not believe in the land of milk and honey. They did not believe in all the miracles they saw. And they were totally destroyed. Yes. Right. Right.
So there were enough Jews over there to be slaves for Pharaoh. So why did he follow the one-fifth Jews?
Bravo. Okay. We say, the Torah says that God, Peron made the Jews to make Irei Maskanot, to create towns for people who are poor. Okay? And he calls those names Pitom v'Ramses. Now what is Pitom? Pitom is Peh of Tehom. That means it's a mouth that anything you throw in it, but there's no end to it. More! More! This is the characteristic of Yetzer Hara. You give him four-fifths, he wants the one-fifth too. You give him one finger, he wants the whole four fingers. That's the Pitom. And what is Ramses? It's not that they created the world and then here a rabbi gets up and says, show me the city they created. Show me a stone. It's not a matter of a stone. It's a matter of Ramses. There is a catalyzer in our stomach that divides the food into elements, into our stomach. The name of it is Ra Masas. It's Ra. Yeah, okay, yeah. But in the Torah, that's no problem. They were his amo. That's what it says. That means all his colleagues. They all get together. They say, well, hey, we're not going to let those Jews go. These Jews go, where are we going to get fed? He wasn't stupid. He knew. Why do you think the Zolecha, the wife of Petifor, wanted to sleep with Yosef? Because he knew that out of Yosef comes Mashiach ben Yosef. She wanted the seed. She didn't want it because of any other reason. She was the biggest astrologist in all Egypt. And she knew in astrology that out of Yosef comes Mashiach, a person that is going to be a king in the world. And she wants that seed. And that was the reason. That's a characteristic of Yetzer Hara. There was a question around here? We are good? Shalom everybody. I'll see you guys. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.